Good morning and welcome to this gathering of the Bridge family. I'd like to ask you a question as we begin this morning, and I warn you, it's a loaded question. Are you ready? Here it is. Let me ask you, just how healthy are you? How good do you feel? I mean, deep down inside, if you had to answer the question of just how healthy you are, what would you say? Now, let me again warn you, it's a loaded question. And in case you would be quick to respond, let me just give you reason to think about this for just a moment. For you see, I'm not asking whether or not you're physically healthy. I'm not asking if you're mentally healthy, financially healthy, culturally healthy, socially healthy. What I'm asking is whether or not you have a good sense of how healthy you are spiritually. How healthy are you spiritually? And let me be quick to point out that if your answer begins with something like, well, I think, or well, I feel, then number one, you're in the right place today, because I'm going to help you do what 2 Corinthians 13:5 commands Christians to do, and that is to test yourself. To test yourself, to examine and to see whether or not you are in a healthy place where your hope is both holy and healing, which allows you to live with a healthy hope, a healthy walk in Christ. Now, again, if you say, I think or I feel, my prayer is that you'll come to rely on God's word, God's will, and God's ways to give you the answer to this question. And you'll see, my prayer is there's no reason to fear this question. There's no reason to feel any sense of heaviness here. This is good news. This is grace on display. And today is going to be our third time where we focus in on hope. You see, we're in a sermon series entitled Gospel Gardening, and we're looking at the roots, the fruits, and the boots of Christ, Christianity, and the church. And in this week, we're going to continue our concentration with the prophet Joel. And for the third time, we're going to stay in his book. And now we're going to transition from a holy hope, which describes the gospel, from last week when we went to a healing hope, which delivers the gospel. And today we're going to look at healthy hope, which disciples the gospel. We're going to see the gospel was described with a holy hope. It was delivered with a healing hope, and it is discipled through this healthy hope, where we live out this walk, this worship with our God, our love for him and our light that shines for him. Now, with that said, let me tell you that our time together today is going to pick up where we left off in Joel chapter 2. Today, we're going to finish verse 12, and we're going to actually go into verse 13. And here's what I pray you will see. You will find in Joel 2:12 and the beginning of 13, the secret ingredient that all of us need, and all of us can take away from this time a better understanding of exactly what's needed to have this healthy hope, to build on the holy and the healing. And I pray you'll see before we're done that you can know from this day forward everything you need to know to live in this healthy hope. Now, to that end, there is a timeless truth as we embrace Joel's message, which tells us that we must prepare for the day of the Lord. It is drawing near. This is a letter of stark warning, and it's a letter of worship. It's a letter that is designed to help us get ready. And I pray you will see all the glorious hope that is intended here, and that you'll walk away having not just heard the word of God, but having heeded the word of God, having now understood the description of holy hope, having, I pray, received the healing of hope, the miracle of God's saving grace. And now you and I will get to live out this sanctifying, healthy hope that is being the church. For our time, the timeless truth that I pray you'll take away, this big idea, is that healthy hope is the fruit of faithful obedience, and it is the righteous, repetitious repentance and refinement that we get from God. Hear me again. This is healthy hope. It is the fruit of faithful obedience and the righteous, repetitious, that means repeating, repentance and refinement that God does on us as we submit to Him. I pray that you'll see this and that it will unlock the door of greater joy and blessing, intimacy and love for you and our Lord. Now, I promise you, if you'll learn these 5 steps, you will forevermore have a biblical blueprint, a biblical bullseye on how to know whether or not you are healthy and how to get healthy in terms of your walk with the Lord. The 5 steps, and this will be our outline for today, is you need to realize, you need to remember, you need to respond. Number 4, you need to rend. I realize that may be a new word for some, but you'll get a covering of it today. You need to rend. And then number 5, you need to return. So if you'll realize, if you'll remember, if you'll respond, rend, and return, from this day forward, by God's grace, if you have holy and healing hope, you'll be able to walk in this healthy hope for the rest of your life. I pray you'll be able to help others to do the same. So let's jump in. Again, Joel chapter 2, verse 12, and the beginning of verse 13. Number 1, again, by way of review, we're going to realize. We, number 1, need to realize. What do we realize? We realize that yet, even now, God is large and in charge. We realize that it is God who is at work, God who is speaking, and it is God who's made it clear we, all of us, we need a miracle of saving grace. Not just to get out of the mess of this world, not just to get through the destruction of a locust swarm, not just to get out of the mess of a military takeover of a Babylon or a Rome, not to just get out of the mess of a virus and a lockdown, but we must realize that we need our Lord, that God is sovereign, He is in charge of all things, and He's the one speaking to us, so we need to listen up, to surrender, and to submit to Him. We must realize this, knowing that if we're going to have a holy hope, it will only truly be holy if our hope is in Christ and for Christ. Now, the good news continues because we're told and we know that if we have this holy hope, our holy hope in Christ is going to be able to overcome every even if that we ever come up against. Praise God. Now, we've been told that in 1 Corinthians 13:13, that this biblical hope, it resides right between faith and love. Biblical hope resides biblically between biblical faith and biblical love. It's right smack dab in the middle of the gospel, holding to faith, reaching out with and for love. Realize that you need this holy hope. Number 2, by way of review again, not only do we realize that we need the miracle, but we remember that it's God who's speaking. And we remember who God is and what He has done. We also remember who we are and what we have done and what we cannot do. We remember that it is only God who can change a heart. We remember that it is only God who can do the miraculous work that is needed for us to be saved and have eternal life. We remember that it is only God that we can look to for this healing hope. We remember, by way of review again, that this is Almighty God who's speaking, and that He's speaking to every one of us. He says, "Yet even now declares the Lord." We remember who's talking. We remember that it's faith that gives life to hope, and then it's hope that will then go back and nurture this faith. Now, for many, I realize this is an unacceptable truth. They don't believe us. Dustin Benge says this, quote, "Everything hinges on your view of Scripture. Either Scripture will be the lens through which you view the world, or the world will be the lens through which you view the Scriptures. Ultimately, one or the other will be your authority." Friends, we must remember that this is the Word of God, and it is the God of the Word who is speaking, and it is only our God who can give the miracle that is needed, because He is the Messiah. His name is Jesus, and we give all glory to Him. Now, let's move to our third point. And again, it seems like we're moving quickly, but I promise you, this message is back-end loaded, and there's a lot coming. So, get ready. But number three, we respond. And we've already seen from Joel that the biblical call to respond has a three-legged component. We must bring genuine remorse, biblical repentance, and we see here what is the beginning of our message for today. We must return. We must respond to the Messiah. We must return to our God. We must return to the Lord with all our heart. And we said last time that when this happens, your holy hope, when the gospel was described, well, when you actually respond by returning with all your heart to the Lord, bam, in that moment, praise God, you've responded, and in response to our Lord, you've now been given the grace of saving faith. You've been gifted justification, just like that. When you have responded by returning to the Lord with all your heart, He has drawn you, you have repented and believed, holy hope has just now, right then, become that healing hope. Praise God. That's what we saw, and it's by His grace and it's for His glory. This is the same truth for every believer. Every believer. This is the path. Yours and my situations, our circumstances, they may have been totally unique to us, but this is the exact same way. Every Christian has come to the place of needing and understanding their need for the miracle of saving grace. And then upon repenting and believing, they have received this healing. This healing. Again, it's sovereign grace. It's all of grace. And yet nobody gets dragged into heaven. So there is a responding, a returning with repentance and belief that consummates the call. That's when you know you were chosen, when you are actually consummated. Praise God. Now, this is where today we shift. Now, that's the definition of healing. That's justification right there. Healing just took place. You went from lost to found, dead to alive, goats to sheep, right? Weeds to wheat, children of the devil to children of Almighty God. Praise God. Now watch what happens, because this is where I promised you you'd be able to walk from this day forward in a healthy, beautiful way with our Lord. If you would take this to heart, be empowered by His Spirit, live by His graces, and seek out His glory, right here it all begins to shift. Are you ready? Okay. Return with all your heart. Friends, healthy hope, when you understand this, this is nothing more than the biblical church living out the missional gospel. Healthy hope is the biblical church, individuals and collectively, biblical church living out the missional gospel. That's what returning to the Lord means. When we bring to Him all of our heart, we're now healthy. Now, for our time, let me just give you a couple of definitions. And again, I've gone back to the Webster's 1828 dictionary. But if I'm going to say to you that this represents healthy and it's contrasted against the sick or sickly, I think it's important for us to get some definitions. So, what do we mean by healthy? Webster said, it's not diseased, not infected, not diseased, it's sound. And by contrast, if it were not healthy and it were sick, our definition for sick, says Webster, it's spiritually or morally unsound or corrupt. It is affected with disease or infection. So we're going to be talking about that healthy, undiseased, sound walk with God, or the corrupt, sickly, diseased walk with God. So when we talk about what is healthy and what is not, or what is sick, it's very important that we understand. So again, I ask you, how healthy are you? How healthy is your walk with the King? Well, let me just remind you that sick hope, or sickly hope, the non-biblical kind, it disobeys, disregards, and disrespects God and His word, His will, and His way. Typically, the sickly hope, it's going to be self-absorbed, self-preserving. It's going to be self-gratifying, self-aggrandizing, self-deceiving, and self-affirming. You notice the common thread there in this sickly hope, this worldly wishing that's called hope? It's all about the self. It's not Savior-based. It's not God-glorifying. It's a hope that is grounded in and seeks self. By contrast, before I give you a contrast, let me just qualify this. Because I think it's important to know that not all sickly hope is lost hope. No, in fact, if you look through the scriptures, what you'll find is some of our great heroes of the faith have had horrific seasons of treacherous, bad, sick hope. Think about this. Noah got drunk naked. Moses was a murderer. David shacked up with Bathsheba and then headed off to Ziklag. We know that Abraham gave Sarah up to a wrong-minded king. John the Baptist asked heart-sickening questions. Think of Thomas. He doubted. Think of Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times, and then he caved in to the Judaizers when he was in Galatia. The Apostle Paul, the awesome Apostle Paul. Well, he did and didn't do all kinds of stuff that he wished he hadn't done or did, according to Romans 7. So I tell you that because it's important to know that the standard here is not perfection. It's about the quality and the passion of the heart. It's not about perfection, it's about direction. It's about whether or not we are truly grounded in a holy, healing hope. Now, if that's true of you, then let's continue with the verse, because God now gives us a little better understanding of what He means by return to me with all your heart. He says, and it begins this way, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Now, those are particulars, but there are principles behind them that will help you and me understand better what it is to be healthy in our hope. You see, when we talk about fasting, this is going to God and looking for intimacy, for insights, for inspiration, for instruction. It's coming to the Lord through fasting and giving Him our heart as we submit and surrender to Him. When we come with weeping, well, weeping is active, it's actual, and it's literally effectual remorse. We're being changed by our tears. We're literally, again, our heart is being shaped and sifted through our weeping. It's giving God all of our heart. Similarly, when we come with mourning, that's when we grieve our sins to the point where it teaches us. Trains us. This mourning actually transforms us through the repentance. Again, you see the common thread. The principle here is bringing all of your heart. That's what he's saying. So we see that when we come and we respond to the Lord, to the Messiah, that the miracle has taken place, the Messiah has given it to us, and now get ready. Here's the shift. Now we're going to rend our hearts. And here we begin to live on mission. You begin to see now the sanctification of the Christian and the church. You now get to see the healthy hope that is living out this life in and for Christ. Now, again, I know for some, this word rend is probably a strange word, so let me explain what it means. But again, notice, healing hope was realizing, remembering, and responding by returning. Now we're getting to healthy hope, which begins with returning, and now we're going to rend, returning and rending. Rending means, by definition, to rip open your heart before God. This is the key, friends. This is the key. This is why I could say to you, it's the essential truth that you need to, for the rest of your life, walk with a healthy hope. That if you will return to the Lord, and he says here, rend your heart, not your garments. It's to tear open your core, not just tear your clothes. This is to rip open your heart before God, to open up all of who you are and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm here, Lord. I'm returning to you. I've come looking for intimacy, for inspiration, for instruction. I'm weeping over what I've done wrong. I'm learning from what my sins have done. And I'm coming now, opening, ripping open my heart that you would fill me, change me, refine me. You see, friends, again, this is the key. Healthy hope. Healthy hope is the fruit of faithful obedience. However, it is also the fruit of a righteous, repetitious repentance and refining. It's asking God, coming, ripping your heart wide open and saying, Lord, change me, fill me, make me more like you. Oh, praise God. This is, friends, a breaking down of your heart that God will build your heart back up. It's a process. And here's perhaps one of the most important things you'll hear me say today. This is a supernatural process, spirit empowered. And again, it's sovereign grace. God does the work. And yet, you and I were commanded to fulfill our human responsibility. You, me, we are to rend our hearts. We do the rending and God does the transforming. This is, again, the most beautiful thing. And if you and I will live in this place, we will live in a healthy way. This is the promise of our God, that if we'll rip open our hearts and we'll bring a heartfelt want to for refinement, Lord, change me. Lord, sanctify me. Lord, do what only you can do in me. My desire is not that you become more like me, but that I become more like you. Lord, use me more. You see, rending our hearts, it's an expression of worship. It's an expression of work. It's hard work sometimes. It's downright warfare inside of us and outside of us. And ultimately, rending our hearts, it's about our witness. It's about our contribution to bringing glory to God as we embrace his grace. Amen. Now, know this as well. Rending, in this ripping open of our heart for God to do his work, rending is not bending. Rending is not bending. It's not mending. And it's certainly not pretending. No, rending is ripping open. And all of those that would do the superficial, churchy, game-playing dance that would, oh, I'll bend my heart for God. I won't do this, and I will start doing that. I'm not going to rend it, but I'll bend it. Let me tell you, friends, our Lord does not haggle. He does not negotiate. And I fear so many are in places where they feel like they've done enough. I've done enough. I don't have to rend my heart. I mean, my goodness, have you seen the things I've stopped doing? Do you know how much money I put into that church? I'll tell you what, there are some people around me that are far dirtier than I am. No, it's not bending, and it's not mending. Oh, I feel much better now. Oh, no, I feel like I'm okay. I'm good. I hear that all the time. Pastor, no, I'm good. I'm not rending. I'm not submitting. I'm not literally living as though I'm loving the Lord, but I'm okay. And I'm here to tell you, if that's you, you're not okay. You're not okay. If you're not rending, you're not okay. I don't care what anybody else says, how you feel and what you think. does not compare to what God says. God's word is the authority. Rending is not bending, mending. And Lord help the pretenders. It's certainly not pretending. You know, the ones that put on the church face, the ones who play the church games, the ones whose lives are totally superficial, and they believe it's enough because there are false teachers out there telling them what their itching ears want to hear. There are people out there that are being told that you don't need to live as though the Lord is the Lord. You can like him, and that's enough. You don't have to love him. And if you say you love him, you don't have to obey him. Ignore John 14:15. Ignore the Great Commission. Ignore the Great Commandments. No, friends, if you and I are going to be healthy, we need to return to the Lord with all our heart. Step two here in this little microcosm is we now rend our hearts. Now, I want to give you something that I've shared with the church in the past. But here again, I think it fits perfectly. I've called this the vitamins for victory. If you want to know how to rend your heart, again, this is where I'm going to start to feed you and give you a drink from a fire hose. But I say to you, this is the message that God would have you to know. And if you'll take it to heart, if you'll use these notes, if you'll take this to heart, you can have a path on the narrow way of healthy hope with the Almighty. Again, just 11 vitamins for victory if you want to rend your heart and return to the Lord. Number one, you want to have consistent biblical worship, Hebrews 10:24-25. By this, I mean consistent contributing of holistic praise and worship within the local church. Two, you want to have consistent, personal, passionate worship expressed vertically and horizontally. Three, there needs to be a consistent being from the inside out, walking your worship day in and day out. Second vitamin, transformative Bible study, not reading, study. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Understanding the Bible's source and structure, purpose, and promises. Next, you want to have learning take place so that you know how to read the Bible for impact and faith strengthening. Next, you want to have a growing in your understanding of the Bible's context, content, and commands. Next, you want to be reading and meditating more and more in and on the Bible's micro and macro truths. Next, you want to have a becoming of a Bible-studying disciple. You want to be a Bible-studying disciple who disciples others in Bible-studying. Amen. Third vitamin, Spirit-led internal discipleship. Internal discipleship, Ephesians 5:15. You want to be maturing in prayer and grace through faith-filled obedience. You want to be maturing in purity and repentance through faith-filled obedience. You want to be maturing in power and forgiveness through faith-filled obedience. You want to be maturing in proclaiming and ambassadorship through faith-filled obedience. You want to be maturing in compassion and cross-carrying through faith-filled obedience. You want to be maturing in passion and discernment through faith filled obedience. You want to be maturing in perseverance and spiritual warfare through faith-filled obedience. You want to be maturing in love and joy through faith-filled obedience, peace and patience through faith-filled obedience, kindness and goodness through faith-filled obedience, gentleness and faithfulness through faith-filled obedience, and you know where we're finishing, with self-control and humility through faith-filled obedience. Next vitamin, biblical stewardship, Matthew 6:33. First and foremost, your time is faithfully surrendered to the Lord's calling. How healthy, by the way, are you with your time when it comes to living, rending your time, your heart's time to the Lord? First and foremost, your talent is faithfully surrendered. Your time, your talent. Third, your treasure. And again, I ask you, how healthy is the evaluation of your time, your talent, and your treasure when it comes to the Lord? I can tell you, I know some of you, and I know your conditions. I know your spiritual conditions, and I know your financial positions and conditions. I know how you're doing things, and I know how you're not doing things. And some of you really need to check the pulse of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Is the Lord getting all of your life faithfully surrendered to Him? Next vitamin is a mission-committed living and lifestyle. You personally submit and commit to all of God's word, God's will, and God's ways. Next, in this context, you will personally submit and commit to the Great Commandments and the Great Commission. You'll personally submit and commit to contributing locally, regionally, and globally to what the Lord is doing. You'll personally submit and commit to perpetually submitting and committing. You'll be learning, loving, and living who and how the Lord has called you to be. You'll be accepting the privilege and the responsibility of your personal ministries. Then you'll also be investing yourself deeply into the calling and the mission that God has for you. Amen. Next vitamin, you'll be the church. Ecclesia in Koinonia, Acts 2:41-47. You'll be the biblical church, which is calling you to both believe and behave biblically. You'll be ecclesia, which means being the church. You'll be that miraculous, called out, spirit-filled, set apart, serving, sent ones of Almighty God. You'll be in Koinonia, which means a supernatural unity for Christ. You'll be both ecclesia in Koinonia as your biblical blessing and mission and ministry. Next, you'll be ecclesia in Koinonia in terms of being together, unified church family with a single purpose and passion that is to bring God glory no matter what and to truly champion His grace, not just in what you get, but in what you give. Amen. Next vitamin, you'll have an active, passionate, witnessing lifestyle. Matthew 28:18-20. You'll pray for opportunities to share the gospel with a diversity of people. You will empathetically refuse to see or treat people like inferiors or projects. You will look for and maximize your potential opportunities to go fishing for men. You'll intentionally improve your capabilities to share the gospel with others. And you'll invest in the starting and building of God-honoring missional relationships. When you think about all the chaos and all the pain and suffering and hate that's going through our world today, friends, we don't need cultural revolution. What we need is to come back to a spiritual awakening. We need to return and rend our hearts. Oh, what our country, what the world would look like if only the people would return to the Lord with all our hearts and then rend our hearts, and not just our outside, but rend our hearts. Next vitamin, four left. We'll have holistic Christ-like attitudes. You'll aim to take every thought captive and allow God's word to filter your words and your thoughts. You'll aim to align your attitudes and actions with God's will, God's word, and God's ways. Thirdly, you'll aim to think through and process every circumstance and challenge God's way. Amen. Next vitamin, you'll live distinct from the world. Hear me, you'll live distinct from the world. You know the world is where Satan and the flesh fight against God's ways. You know that God's holy biblical standards and definitions are now yours too. You're no longer a part of the world, friend. You know that God wants you to live in a contrasting witness to this world if you're a Christian. You know that Christ is to be seen in and at the core of your cultural contrast. You also know that living distinct from the world will come at a very high cost. How's that for a vitamin? Okay, two more vitamins. Number 10, you'll joyfully serve the world. Your goal in Christ-like service will be the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom and gospel. Your epitomizing of Christ-likeness will be in your loving, joyful, selfless serving. Lastly, your methods of service will be biblically affirmed in their aim and in their application. Amen. All right, last of the vitamins. You'll have a missional and relational discipleship commitment. John 20:21. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Your mission will be a personal lifelong journey to mature in Christ-likeness. Your mission will be to bring God glory by finding and growing more glorifiers. Your mission will be to invest in relationships that inform, inspect, and inspire others. Your mission will share God's truth and love locally, regionally, and globally. Your mission will be to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Your mission will be lived out in a grace-based, loving, life-on-life set of relationships. And lastly, your mission will be to make discipled warriors while winning spiritual warfare. Friends, I encourage you again to come back to these notes. This is a rich place for you to be edified and strengthened, for your health to be nourished. Oh, friends, that's what we have now in our first four. We are going to realize, we're going to remember, we're going to respond by returning, and then number four, we're going to rend. Here we go. We're going to come in now for a landing. We're going to now, number five, return again. You see, the scripture goes and now says to us again, after return to the Lord with all your heart and then rend your heart, the next set of words, again, God says, return to the Lord, your God, your God. You're going to return again. And now, because you've been healed, he's no longer the Lord. He's now your Lord, your God. And you return once more. Notice the micro focus here. Return, rend, return. Return, rend, return. This is the secret ingredient. This is the special sauce for you and me. Here's how you'll know that you can always be healthy with the Lord if you're a believer. 2 Peter 1:3, you've received everything you need for life and godliness. And now you see this. Return to the Lord your God. You see, the key here to this perpetual healthiness, it's a refining repetition. It's a refining repetition. You realize, you remember, and then you respond by returning. When you return, you rend your heart wide open. Lord, fill me, change me. I want to return so that you can do more work in me, on me, and through me. This is the point. This is the key. We're returning so that we can be purged, we can be purified, and we can become greater, empowered to be Christ-like. Our reflection of Christ is more like him the more we are purged and purified through this returning, rending, and returning. We return, we rend, we rip open and say, Lord, fill me. Then we go out and then we're going to return again, because we realize we need, we remember where we go and to whom we serve and who has the power to change us. And then we respond to the truth and love that he shows us so that we're able to rend our hearts open to be filled, to be more like him, to be sent back out, and then to return again. That's what you see here. That's the pattern. Return, rend, return. If you will live in this pattern, you can be healthy with the Almighty for the rest of your life, Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, you can't do this. It's not like the 12 steps programs. You can't fake it till you make it. The only way this happens, the only way this healthy hope happens, is if it starts with the holy hope that is in Christ alone. Then you receive the miracle through the Messiah, who is Christ Jesus, and that becomes now a healing hope. And the degree to which you and I will return to him, rend our hearts, and then return again, living out this repentance over time, this refinement over time, this perpetual refinement, we will not only be healthy, but we'll become more and more healthy every step of the way. That's good news. Praise God. Remember again, I said to you, our time together today to understand this, it's to see that healthy hope is the fruit of faithful obedience. It's also the fruit of this righteous repetitious repentance and refinement that God does. You see, healthy hope, healthy, healing, holy hope lives perpetually between biblical faith and biblical love. And this is where God does his work on us. When I think of it again with my old life from the streets, if I were to give this healthy hope a street name, knowing that it comes between faith and love, the street name for healthy hope is obedience. It's obedience. It's literally saying, yes, Lord, and knowing the blessings of walking in and following the King. Amen. I want you to just think about this. If you know your Bible, and forgive me if you don't, but I want to ask you to just take this reference in, that this healthy hope, this living it out, this returning, rending and returning, it's living out the Beatitudes. It's being poor in spirit, mourning your sin, being meek with others, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being merciful to others, pure in heart in all that you do. It's being a peacemaker, and it's being persecuted for righteousness' sake and saying, yes, Lord, I have hope that keeps me healthy even in the persecution. Beyond that, it's living in the armor of God. Healthy hope is living in the armor of God. It's living with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of righteousness, with the belt of truth, with the cleats of peace, with the shield of faith. It's living out with the sword of the Spirit as an offensive weapon and standing in the power of Spirit-filled prayer. Oh, friends, healthy hope is living out life in the armor. It's living out in the context of, amongst, and perhaps as one of the fivefold leadership gifts that God gives to the church per Ephesians 4. Maybe you are one, some, or all of these, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. This is where you and I get to see holy, healthy, healing hope on display. I pray it's in you. I pray that you are finding your place in that mix. We go forward and you find this to be lived out in the fruit of the Spirit. That when you have this healing hope and you are walking in this healthy place, you're walking in, you are exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. That's a healthy hope when you're walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When this is who you are, friend, you're not just healthy, you're helping to grow the kingdom of God by being a witness that is drawing others to Christ. Because you're so healthy in your holy healing hope that others want to get to know the King that you serve. Oh, I pray this is you. I look at it this way. It's also the living out of the five great C's. It's the great commandments. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We see this, what Jesus said was the greatest commandment of all. If you want to be healthy, you walk in faithful obedience. And when you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to walk in faithful obedience. You're going to naturally then love your neighbor as yourself because it's the number two commandment. And from there, you'll naturally fulfill the great commandments by filling out and completing the Great Commission with your life. You'll go make disciples all over the world, locally, regionally, globally. You won't teach them to bend their hearts. No, you'll teach them to obey everything that Christ commanded. You'll teach them to rend their hearts that they might know the joy of this healthy hope and this walk with our King, that they can be the ambassadors of the Almighty, the aroma of Christ, ministers of reconciliation, salt of the world. Oh man, that we could be the light of the world as we are in our Christ-likeness. Oh friends, I pray that you will see that this is such a special treat and it's so different from what the cultural church is telling people. No, this is the biblical church. I want you to think of it this way. Healthy hope, like all aspects of Christ's love, is not mechanical. This may bless some of you in a life-changing way. Make no mistake, while healthy hope and love, for that matter, include and involve some mechanics like choices and actions, they are both so, so much more than merely going through the motions. Think about it. A love without heart is a lie. In the same way, hope without Christ-likeness is a heresy. And by the way, unhealthy, hope-perverting heresies, they tend to breed all kinds of brokenness and other hypocrisies. Now, with the time we have left, I want to give you a family portrait of what this hope looks like, this healthy hope. And again, it's going to be like we're drinking from a fire hose, but I pray that you're blessed and that this will feed you and fill your soul with God's truth and love. Friends, healthy hope is not perfect, but it is passionate. Healthy hope is sharing hope. It's a life-on-life sharing. Healthy hope lives in active, ongoing daily repentance. Healthy hope is being yourself in Christ. You don't have to be anybody else. Healthy hope is being yourself in Christ. Healthy hope literally lives with a Christ-like perspective and power. Healthy hope is Christ-centered, gospel-driven, others-saturated, obedience-delivering, and faithfully displayed, all in an Acts 1:8 posture of spirit led truth and love. Healthy hope lives looking for persons of peace. Healthy hope lives loving and serving the least of these. Healthy hope lives like Christ, making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Healthy hope lives like a soldier, an Olympic athlete, a dedicated farmer, 2 Timothy 2. Healthy hope lives taking every thought captive. Healthy hope lives declaring, exhorting, and rebuking, and living with the kind of authority that allows no one to disregard them, Titus 2:15. Healthy hope lives rejoicing and praying always. Healthy hope has a degree of purity that practicality and pragmatics do not understand, nor do they submit to. In other words, per God's word, will, and ways, there are a great many things that unhealthy pragmatism often does that healthy Christ-likeness will not do. Know the difference. Healthy hope, by the way, it can handle the hurts that come. Unhealthy hope is living with a false sense of confidence. It's like swimming in a crocodile-infested lake. Oh, you don't fear it because you don't see it. But let me tell you, if you don't have this healthy hope, you're going to end up either by grace being woken up, or I fear not realizing until it's too late. Friends, healthy hope wants Christ to worship. Unhealthy hope wants a church to fellowship. Now hear me, that can get tricky. Holy hope wants to worship Christ. Unholy hope wants a church to superficially fellowship in. If your fellowship defines your worship, you're sick. If your worship defines your fellowship, you're healthy. Know the difference, I pray. Friends, healthy hope, it is willing to bring compassionate confrontation where it's needed. I offer you this, just know this. Healthy hope, it's miraculous, messianic, and it's missional. It's biblical. It's bold. It's beautiful. It's Christ-like, cross-carrying, and compassionate. It's selfless. It's serving. And it's sacrificial. It's humble. It's help-filled. It's holistic. And it's hardy. It can persevere. Lastly, it's learning. It's loving, and it's living like Christ. Now, this happens in the context of the family of God. We call it the church. But again, healthy hope in its right biblical context is meant to be shared. It's life on life. And yet, there are so many who have a superficial understanding, a superficial lack of commitment to Christ and His church. And again, if somebody says, don't tell me I'm not committed, I will tell you that Christ called the church His bride. And to say that you love the bridegroom, but you're not connected to or willing to be a part of His family, the bride, something's wrong. Again, I'm not saying that all sickness is lostness, but I am saying this, much of sickness is lostness. And if it walks like a duck, swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, don't be surprised if biblically it's called a duck. And so I plead with you to understand that healthy hope, it's not just in Christ, it's in the church family. Again, if I could quote Dustin Benge, he says, "How important is the church?" Now, my reference here, read John 17 and see Jesus describing the church and its role and its importance and how he is praying for the church to be unified supernaturally. But Dustin says this, "How important is your church? They," note that, it's not an it, it's a they, the church is the people, "they teach you the truth. They hold you accountable. They provide sweet fellowship. They help you profess your faith. They accept you as family. They aid your sanctification. They confront your sin, and they help to keep you God-focused." Friend, I pray to God that that's you. I pray to God that that's you. I can tell you that's who we are as a Bridge family. That's the bullseye that we're aiming at, and praise God, by his grace and for his glory, it's as though he's guiding every shot, it seems. We are so blessed to be a people that are in this healthy place overall. Now, let me quickly say, if you're not in that healthy place, do not think for a second that you can hide in the shadows of our aggregate church's healthiness. This is a personal endeavor. This is a personal evaluation. But I've said to you before, and I will say to you now again, by way of summary, as I bring you into this close now, that we as a church family, we are committed to the supernatural witness, and we will confront the superficial that God's word warns against. And in our way of doing it, what I call the manifesto, I tell it to you this way. We are responding to grace and repenting of sin. We are trusting the Bible and obeying God's word. We are growing in Christ and living Spirit-led. We are praying for guidance and following by faith. We are dying to self and carrying our cross. We're being the church and loving one another, truly loving one another. We're equipping the saints and exemplifying supernatural unity. We're ministering as ambassadors and discerning matters shrewdly. We're worshiping God vertically and experiencing him horizontally. We're proclaiming the gospel no matter what, and we're fishing for men. We're making discipled warriors, and praise God, we're winning spiritual warfare. We're loving our King, and we're serving his kingdom. Amen and amen. Friends, I pray that you see that healthy hope, it is a supernatural witness, whereas worldly wishing reflects and reveals a superficial cancer. We are a supernatural witness in contrast to a superficial cancer. Oh, that you would know the difference. I pray that you would want to be the difference. You see, friends, healthy hope, it compels people with the gospel, whereas unhealthy hope attracts people with worldly wishes. I'm so blessed to say that hope happens here. Healthy hope happens here, that we are this people by God's grace and for his glory. Friends, I just want to ask you as we close, before I pray, how's your health? How's your health? When was the last time you read 2 Corinthians 13:5. Perhaps it's not to see whether or not you're a Christian, but it is to see how well you are following Christ. I ask you to take a cold, hard look at your time, your talent, and your treasure, and ask yourself, am I returning and rending, ripping my heart open that God would do the surgery that I need, that I would be more like him? Oh, Lord, I want you to fill me and to fuel me and to refine me more and more. Is that you? Are you returning, rending, and returning? Returning, rending, and returning? Returning, rending, and returning? All for the glory of God. If you will, you can be more than you've ever dreamt in and for Christ. If we will be church, we could see God do more than we've ever imagined. Let us not be settled with the miraculous that he's already done. Let us seek to bring him a glory that no one else could ever even imagine. Not for us, but for him. Let it be our expression of praise and gratitude. May we seek to be all that he would call and create us and commission us to be. May we be giants in this gospel of grace. Oh Lord, I ask this in your name for your glory. As one who is so, so appreciative of your grace and your gospel, may those that I serve and those that will hear this message be quickened today. May you draw some to that place of new life. And Lord, I pray that you'll draw everyone within the sound of this voice to a place of devoting their life to live healthy, holy, healing hope for your glory and by your grace. May nothing stop us as we seek to be your ambassadors. Amen and amen.
The Word of God, and then you look at modern Christianity. You see a discrepancy. Some of us don't want to see the discrepancy. We want to tell ourselves, no, it's similar. It's a similar vibe between the book of Acts and what we have now. We come up with elaborate doctrinal excuses for why we're impotent as a church. Why our prayers seem to hit a tin roof. The Word of God is timeless and it is eternal. It defines what Christianity is meant to be. Our God is not altering. Our God is not evolving. He does not change. He does not lie. There is no shadow of turning in him. He is rock-like. Our God has not moved. It's us that have moved. We have moved and we've lost sight of the rock. You build upon anything else, it will fail you when the winds and the rains come and beat against your house. The Irish Elk. The Irish elk is officially classified as extinct. It's sort of hard to give an accurate understanding of how big this animal is. At the top of its brow, it's about 10 feet tall. On top of its 10-foot tall head, it had a rack of antlers that spanned 12 feet in width. 12 feet! That's bigger than Goliath, just on top of his head! Yet it went up 5 more feet! 15 feet of massiveness. What I'm looking at here is something that I would liken to true Christianity. Christianity the way God intended it to be. We love seeing elk. Elk are majestic creatures. They stir us. For some reason, there's something about an elk that is moving. They're a regal animal. However, what's the height of an elk, would you guess? I mean, would we say 5-6 feet would be the top of a head, maybe? I mean, it was still big, right? Rack of antlers, maybe a couple feet above that. We might get up to 8 feet. You take a modern-day elk and stand it next to an Irish elk. You were really impressed with the modern-day version, weren't you? Our problem is we've lost sight of the Irish elk version of Christianity. We don't even believe it exists. We honestly believe it's gone extinct. We don't go after it. God doesn't intend to do those things in a man or a woman of God anymore. That was what he did back then. Those are things for yesteryear, not for today. You see, we need a rack of antlers, something that causes the world to stop their car, slam into a pole and say, "Did you see that?" When I was studying extinct animals, this is what it said. Despite being officially classified as extinct, sightings are still reported. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if sightings are still being reported, shouldn't you remove or change the classification of extinct? Doesn't extinct to you mean gone? No more!
No more!
You see, this is Christianity,
and this is what God wants to bring back.
You see, what we say is, despite being officially classified as extinct, true Christianity, brawny Christianity,
The type of Christianity that stands on a rock and is unmoved in a generation. The type of Christianity that knows the power of their God. George Mueller's their way through to support 1,000 orphans. To grow them up merely on faith. It's extraordinary pictures that have been exemplified throughout Christianity. C.T. Studd going at the age of 52 in dying body. Goes into the heart of Africa. Untamed Africa, where cannibals live. Lives there 20 years and turns Africa on its head. Who are these men? They were Irish elk. Let's behold majesty again, fall flat on our face, recognize our uncleanness and the uncleanness of the system around us, and allow our God to clothe us in his blood. Allow our God to cleanse us with his blood. Allow our God to regenerate us, to set our feet upon a rock, to make us tributes to his glory. They may not believe that the stature of a true man or a woman of God can grow 10 feet at the brow. They may not believe that the rack of glory that we are to carry as Christians spans 12 feet in width and another 4 or 5 feet above our heads. They may not believe it, but we believe. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old, as in the generations previous to us. We know who you are, God. We believe. We have not forsaken you. We know that you do not slumber. We know you are waiting for a generation to rise up with faith. Childlike confidence that you are exactly who you say you are. And when you say it in your word, you cannot lie. And when our God promises, we can take it to the bank. I want to see this rack of antlers on the Church of Jesus Christ again. And I want your lives to declare to the heavenlies what God can and will do through lives wholly submitted to him. And may this generation see what elk are supposed to look like.
We are the chain. The world is waiting, for we've got love. The world is desperate, for we will lead. Take to the street. Now's the time for us to rise, carry hope, let love shine. Show this world mercy. Time us to rise, carry hope to hopeless eyes, show this world mercy is alive. We're not afraid, we will abandon to hear your name. Cross the
time for us to rise, carry hope and love. Show this world mercy is alive. Now's the time for us to rise, carry hope to hope inside. Show this world the mercy is
Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph.